This week on Out of the Air features Craig A. Meyer, who is considered the best Elton John tribute artist in the market, appearing April 18th with the LaPorte County Symphony. Next, saxophonist Nick May, who recently appeared with LaPorte County Symphony, discussing his career and his album You, Me, Us. Our spotlights on books, brushes, and bands for education's 8th annual tea on April 26th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org. And is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight from Books, Brushes, Bands for Education, and you can find them always at bbb4e.org. And then we're going to talk about their 8th annual Spring Tea, and of course the founder and CEO is Michelle Golden. We have also Ian Bunch, who is the marketing and director. We appreciate them coming on and telling about everything that's going on. Michelle and Ian, welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's always great to talk with you.
So, Ian, I guess you're going to start us off about what's going on.
Yes, we are getting ready for our 8th annual Spring Tea, as you mentioned. This will be on Sunday, April 26th. The Spring Tea is our annual fundraiser that celebrates the art and really every aspect of Books, Brushes, and Bands programs. At that event, there will be performances from the youth choir as well as the adult choir. And there are actually two levels of youth choir right now. So 5 to 8 year olds and then 8 year olds through high school students. So it'll be some really adorable music as well as some really strong performances from the adult choirs as well.
And of course, for music, you have someone else very, very special going to be there.
Very special.
Yes, so Billy Foster.
So we are delighted to have him come back. He has been playing with us for many years, all the way back to our 5th birthday at El Taco Real. So we've carried Billy all the way, all these years. And after 20, we're grateful that he's still with us and that he's still here in Northwest Indiana and willing to play and able to play.
So tell us a little bit about the mission of your organization. I mean, I think it's awesome, but I know the history of it, just a brief history and what you do now.
So the capsule of the history is, as a parent volunteer, I wanted very desperately for my sons to have a certain level of arts programming that I could not find in the schools. And it was important to my family, my father in particular, that my sons had a band experience, which at the time was not in Hammond at that level for about 40 years. And that was in 1999. There still is not, by the way. So we... not only the band, the music, but the reading and the books. And as a visual artist myself, as a calligrapher, used to having a very high level of exposure and involvement of those things in my life. And I wanted the same for my kids, but also for their friends and the community that they live in.
Michelle, did it start out with all of these things or did it grow into this gradually? Did you start maybe with the bands or did you have the vision for the whole thing right at once?
The music is very expensive. The band is very expensive. And we started with something much smaller with a bookmaking story writing project at Kenwood Elementary School. And we worked there for 18 months. Judy O'Bannon came in and kicked off the project. And we made 2 books per 350 kids. And at the end, left with 700 books that were made with the students, some of which were two-dimensional, some three-dimensional, but every single one was unique in its binding and storytelling. And we took a small break and went to Irving, did a sculptural project there and a bookmaking piece there, and then started the choir in 2004. In 2003, and then 4 months later started a band program. So it was just nonstop from the beginning.
And so the Spring Tea, this is the eighth one. This is your fundraiser, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And has it been, over the 8 years, has it been the same format for this? Do you normally have this panel that you've assembled for this particular Spring Tea?
No, we're doing something. We started something last year with a building block, a letter block, with talking about education. And really getting down to the nitty-gritty of the ABCs, because what we do is very foundational in nature. Ian, you want to share the part about the panel?
So in this year, in thinking about a theme, we wanted to build on this idea of education that was our focus last year, and really think about the sort of foundation of Northwest Indiana. And for us, we identified art, business, and community as three really important sort of facets that make our area function, with books, brushes, and bands being a big component of that art piece. So we've gathered three different panelists who are going to be speaking to those three components. Chris White from United Way, representing community, Larry Breckner, yourself, representing art, Arts in the Air, and then Heather Ennis, the CEO of the Northwest Indiana Forum. So in addition to all the great entertainment and music, we're going to have a really fruitful conversation about the importance of art, the impact of art, and how business and community intersect with those things to have a brighter future.
Ian, is it set up to have audience participation with questions?
Yeah, we definitely will be building in some time for questions from the audience. The Spring Tea always brings, obviously, the families of our members who are in the choir and supporters of books, brushes, and bands, but also just a wide variety of community members. So we definitely want to have an open dialogue with feedback and questions throughout that panel.
In our last few moments here, we want to give you a chance to recap the dates, location, times, and availability.
Yeah, definitely. The 8th annual Spring Tea will be at the Halls of St. George on Sunday, April 26th. That's in Cherville. Doors will open at 11:30, and we hope to spend a great afternoon with anyone who is interested in joining. Tickets are on sale right now at our website, bbb4e.org, or you can get in contact to us through email at give@bbb4e.org.
We'd like to thank Michelle Golden and Ian Bumbridge from Books, Brushes, Bands for Education, 8th Annual Spring Tea. Thank you so much for coming on Art of the Air and sharing.
Thank you so much,
thank
Larry.
You.
Yeah, have a fabulous event.
And a spotlight extra. Meg Demakis will have an exhibit at the Beauty Spot in Valparaiso with an opening on April 17th, 5 to 7 p.m. Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Sunday is brought to you by Ember Forge Consulting, with end-to-end expertise in learning strategy, design, and implementation. Ember Forge turns your organization's knowledge into impact. To learn more, visit emberforgeconsulting.com. We are delighted to invite you to attend a screening of the new Ken Burns, Sarah Botstein, David Schmidt PBS documentary, The American Revolution, in celebration of the 250th anniversary of the United States. Lakeshore Public Media, along with Indiana Humanities, are hosting a viewing and discussion at Valparaiso University's Hare Union Ballroom on April 22nd at 3 p.m. Discussions will be led by facilitators and a light snack will be provided. To make your reservations, go to Lakeshore Public Media website and click on the event graphic. Don't miss this very special event.
Hey, this is Bela Fleck, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
We are pleased to welcome Craig A. Meyer to Art on the Air. Craig is multifaceted, an actor, musician, and entrepreneur, working in theater, film, television, and music, starring on Broadway in Meet Me in St. Louis as Clinton Badger in the role he created, touring nationally with Cats and other well-known productions. He worked with Alan Menken on Disney's Aladdin and with Tim Rice and Sir Elton John on The Lion King. He has also had numerous television appearances and film credits, including as a child performing Bojangles in 1977 on The Gong Show. He did not get gonged. In music, he has toured internationally and has recorded with music legends Barry Manilow and Frankie Valli. He also headlines on major cruise ships. After resisting numerous requests to inhabit the Elton John persona, he developed the celebration of character, costume, and charisma of Elton John in Remember When Rock Was Young, The Elton John Experience. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Craig. I think we would have been here even if you did get gonged, my guess.
One never knows, you know, it's that sliding doors thing.
It is, truly.
Well, Craig, how I always like to start out our interviews is find out our guest's origin story. I always tee it up by saying how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about Craig.
Well, I am the son of a Southern California Lutheran minister. And so people wonder how, from those humble beginnings, I ended up touring the world as one of the greatest rock artists of our generations. And I started dancing as a child. I had a lot of energy and my mother didn't know what to do with it. And so my sister, who's just a little bit older than me, we got enrolled in tap class. The organist at my dad's church owned a dance studio. And so that was the outlet that we tried to sort of focus the energy in. And it was great. I could make sounds with my feet and I was given permission to do it on a standing basis. But music was always a part of our household. My parents met when my dad was in seminary and singing at the church choir where my mother was in St. Louis, Missouri. So there was always music in the house. I started teaching myself how to play the piano around the age of 10 as I was developing my dance skills and everything else. And early on, I kind of wanted to be a working actor. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed performing. And that was sort of my goal. And I can happily say that that's what I've been doing for my entire life. I've been a working actor. I started off as a child actor in LA doing television and film and commercial work. We moved from Southern California to Indiana in between my freshman and sophomore years in high school, which sort of put a dent in my SAG card that I had already acquired at that point. But I ended up in a school that had a great theater program and music program, and that sort of moved me along in that direction. And as you noted, I have been very blessed to perform on Broadway and national tours. I did a lot of years working with the Walt Disney Company in a lot of different facets in their parks around the world, and special events and TV and film and animated work.
So Craig, was that world or land?
Both. I've worked at both world and land and Tokyo Disneyland. So I have circumvented the world with a pair of mouse ears on my head. and then 20 years ago, moved from Los Angeles to Atlanta for a position there that didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go, but I had moved also primarily to be closer to family. And 18 years ago, hatched the idea for an Elton John tribute show. I had a woman who was a very dear friend of mine who came into my vocal coaching studio to work on her Dolly Parton show. And as we were talking, she said, you know, it's got to be somebody that you might be able to do in the tribute industry. And I was like, I don't know that I want to go to the elephant graveyard of entertainment to be an impersonator. And so I said no for about 2 years. And then I did a concert at a theater in town, a benefit concert, and I did a couple of Elton songs at the piano, not doing Elton himself, but some of his songs. And after the show, a dozen people came up to me and said, you know, there were moments where I heard it in your voice and in your hands. And it made sense because I taught myself how to play the piano with the music of Elton John, Billy Joel, and Barry Manilow. So it was already in my fingers. And so I called Melody up and said, hey, you've cracked this code. Will you help me? And she did. And I thought it would be one of the many side hustles that I was doing in Atlanta. In addition, I was doing theater and television and film work as well as coaching. And within 18 months, I was playing Las Vegas and it became my 800-pound gorilla. And what you do with an 800-pound gorilla is you feed it and groom it and take very good care of it.
Right.
And here we are today.
Excellent. So can you talk about transforming into the physicality of Elton. The not only the physical but the emotional prep to channel him on a daily, well, not daily basis, but for 2 hours during that, or 2 hours plus for those performances.
Yeah. I don't know that playing the piano gives us any, is any more of a connection than anything else. And I would never claim to be the genius that he is. However, there are certain mannerisms when you're at the piano and you're singing that will automatically translate. Because if you're sitting at the keyboard and you have to turn to the audience to sing to them, that's what he does as well. So there's just natural things that are going to happen.
Well, what about the high kicks though? I'm, you know,
yeah. Well, yes, I don't know. Yes. The kicking, the physicality comes from my years as a dancer and from my dance classes and being on the road with Cats and the Starlight Express and all of the shows. But I think really the transformation happens with the makeup. My friend Melody, who got me started, helped me design the makeup for the character. There are ways to use light and shading to shift planes, and I sort of accentuate the dimple in my chin, and I create a dysmus between my two front teeth like he has. I color my hair for the show. That's
what
the
about
first
your ears
phase.
Being pierced? Did you have to do that for the show?
So the only thing that I did to change my body physically was that I had my right ear pierced.
My left
had already been pierced for a long time, but he has an earring in his right ear. So that was the one change that I did make to my physical person for the show. And then once the makeup is on, the next steps are the wardrobe and the 4-inch heels and the spandex and the hat. And then finally, the glasses. And the glasses really are that a figurative and literal window through which I get to view the audience as my character, almost Elton John.
Glasses are a character themselves, that's for sure.
So yes. the when you're making the transformation, and this is true of almost any actors, is when you do the external part first, it's then very easy to like become that character. So when you're just describing the process that many actors go through, but of course Elton John is maybe a slightly over the top flamboyant type character and everything. Now a question I have is, like, you know, you're doing the thing for the Port County Symphony on April 18th, where you're doing the show with the symphony. Characterize how that works with a symphony orchestra, you know, what, like, costume changes, and, you know, explain how that works.
So our symphony shows are really our favorite version of the show. My rocket band, seven performers that we travel with are just outstanding. We've been together for a long time. We operate as a family unit, but it's so exciting to then add a 50-piece orchestra.
Right.
And the things that we're able to accomplish in the show with the orchestra is really stellar. We open the second act with Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding, which is the first cut on the Yellow Brick Road album. And that was originally recorded with a synthesizer, with a Moog synthesizer and some other synthesizers. And it's beautiful. But to hear an entire section of strings hit that downbeat, it sends chills through your body. When I was developing the symphony show, I realized that a lot of people that would be at a symphony show at a Pops concert would probably have tickets for the local Broadway series. And so we've built a Broadway suite into the show, and we get to highlight Elton's work on Broadway, which is so much fun. And again, to hear these songs with a full orchestra behind us and with us is so thrilling for us, and I know that it's thrilling for the audience as well. And of course, Carolyn Watson will be on the podium for us, and we have done the show with her before, and so we're really excited to be bringing someone back into the Rocket Band family with Carolyn.
I know, she's wonderful. So can you talk about the audiences for cruise ships, for you know, kind of regular venues, and the symphony? Does the audience get up and dance during symphony?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, good.
Oh, yes.
It's kind of irresistible. Yes.
It is. It, you know, when you look at the music of Elton John and you look at what he's created and you look at the 5 decades that he has been charting music, that's no small feat. And so whether we're at a symphony hall, on a cruise ship, at an outdoor shed for the summer, his music transcends generations. And it's so much fun to see in certain venues where you'll have 4 or 5 generations together. You'll have the grandparents who are the parents of the kids who have their kids and sometimes even their kids. So it's and it's so great because they know the music, whether it's through Romeo and Juliet, whether it's through the movie Sing, whether it's The Lion King, they all know this music. They're the songs that you know, even if you don't know that you know them. And it's exciting when I talk to people who go, well, you know, so-and-so drug me to the show and I wasn't really sure, but then the show started and I was like, oh, I know that and I know that. So by the end of the show, when I have my, I use my secret sauce to get the audience up on their feet to join us, they're willing to go the whole distance. And about the last 10 minutes of a concert, the entire theater is on their feet dancing. And it's great.
What's nice about the Civic Auditorium is that it actually is a flat space with tables. That's how they set up. Plus, so there's plenty of room to dance. And it's not like a regular auditorium per se. And yeah, that will be wonderful. I know I'm planning on attending. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about some of your other work, some of your favorite roles. And of course, I saw Starlight Express, which not too many people know of. And you played, I think, the caboose in that and Cats. But tell us about some of the...
I played Skimbleshanks in Cats.
Oh, okay.
I'm not cool enough to play Tugger.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, what's some of your favorite roles? I mean, you know, I know you have some on your bio here, but what do you say? Oh, I really love that role.
You know, I have been very fortunate to play 2 of my favorite roles ever on several different stages at several different times. As I said, my first pair of dance shoes were Tap Shoes, and I have been able to play 2 of the greatest male tap dancing roles in theater in the last 30, 40, 50 years. That is Billy Lawler in 42nd Street, which is just an outstanding role and such a lot of fun to dance and sing. And then also Bobby Child in Crazy for You.
Oh, okay.
Originally created by Harry Groener on Broadway. And then also Leroy Reams in 42nd Street for Billy Lawler. These are like the pinnacle of the male tap dancer roles. And in Crazy for You, Bobby Child, the character, is not on stage for just one scene. Other than that, right, he's in every single scene, and he's changing costumes and characters because he plays Bella Zangler as well as Bobby, and it's such a great role. And Gershwin music, it's just, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So I've loved those. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that, you know, when I was very young and on the road with Cats, that was just an amazing time to be dancing a 3-hour dance concert every night and having a song in the show. I will tell you, I turned 25 on that tour and I weighed 127 pounds and had a 30-inch waist or 27-inch waist. So I was nothing but skin and bone and muscle.
I always love the line, you know, well, I've taught some theater classes and I said, well, Cats is the ultimate concept musical. And I remember when, I think it was Hal Prince was talking to Andrew Lloyd Webber about it. And he's trying to say, well, what are the characters in, is this like a Queen Victoria? And he said, no, Hal, it's about cats, was his response. He says, there's nothing. It's a complete concept musical. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, what capacity did you work on Lion King with? You said you worked with Elton John. Did you actually get to work with him?
I did not get to work with him directly. I did some work on Aladdin. Mm-hmm. And when Howard Ashman unfortunately passed away, Tim Rice stepped in as the lyricist to work with Alan Menken on the film. And so I did some work on Aladdin. And when that was over, about 6 months later, the studio called and said, hey, Tim loved your work on Aladdin, and he's working on a new project with Elton John called King of the Jungle. And he wanted to know if you could come into the studio to record the love song for the film. They're going to animate some of the pencil drawings for the final presentation to the studio. And so could you come in and work on that? I was like, of course.
Yeah.
So I got to spend the day with Tim Rice and Hans Zimmer in Hans's brand new digital studio back in 92. And I was one of the first people to ever record Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Wow. Do you love the way the dominoes stack up in life? It's just like so beautiful.
So, one thing leads to another.
So Craig, you have embodied this character for some time, but is there a project there that's saying, okay, now I've really accomplished this and I'm going to still keep doing this, but is there something else that you would like to do? Some other, I don't know if it's necessarily an impersonation, but if there like a Billy Joel or something else, is there some other way you'd like to go?
So I do have a secondary show that I do out here on the ships and that I'm beginning to tour right now called Elton, Billy, and Barry, They Write the Songs. Ah. And it's a celebration of those three gentlemen and my career. I have another show that I'm working on right now called Piano Revolution, The Titans of Rock. And that will be a show featuring the great rock pianists of our age, both men and women. So I'm working on that.
Wow, that sounds wonderful.
Well, and I think our audience doesn't realize you actually are on a cruise ship right now, so we appreciate you connecting with us. What advice do you have to a young person that wants to get involved in the type of thing that you do? I know I've given advice to them, and I said, you just have to want it more than anything else, and you keep working at it. There used to be a saying that for every 30 auditions you go to, you might get one job, and it only might be for a weekend or so. But tell us your advice.
My best advice is if there's anything else in the world that you want to do, go do it. This is not a career or a life for the faint of heart. If you breathe this, if it is your lifeblood, great. This is a industry that requires perseverance. There are a lot of avenues now to visibility through social media and whatnot. And while that's great, there are a lot of people that want to do it. I was fortunate that when I was coming up, I did my apprenticeship work basically with the Disney company in their theme parks and whatnot. I was doing five shows a day, 5 days a week, wrapped in polyester and singing out in the hot Florida, LA, or Tokyo sun. And you learn consistency. You learn how to hit your mark every single time, how to sing that song the same way every single time, because that's what you have to do. You've got to hone your craft, and then you have to hone your ability to actually deliver that show the same way every single time, no matter when or where you're at or the circumstances that you're under. So I will say this, though. If you can make that happen, it's incredibly rewarding. And there is a life to be made. I'm actually working on a project right now called giglogic.com, which is a tool for artists to keep more money from their gigs. You can go to giglogic.com. We are in beta testing right now. And that's basically taking my knowledge and 4 or 5 decades of experience and putting it into an app and a tool for performers to figure out how to make a living and build wealth as a performer.
Wow. That's the entrepreneur part.
Yeah.
Yes.
So do you have a complimentary, to break from just to take a different direction? Do you like sketch, or do you write poetry, or do some complimentary art?
I wish I had other disciplines that I was talented in, but I don't. My hobbies are going to the gym and hiking the mountains of Georgia where I live, and spending time with my family.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's true. What's your typical schedule like? I mean, it sounds like you're doing something constantly. So, I mean, just following you on Facebook, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going from here to here to here. We're trying to get this all set up. But tell us just briefly about that.
I'm on the road about 240 days a year right now, which is great and exhausting. I love what I do, but I'm pretty much on the road all the time. And when I'm home, I dial it way down and I spend time with the people that I love and I sit on my couch and I sleep extra long in my bed, and then steal myself and rev the engine back up to put everything in the suitcase and get back out the door again.
And when you're not performing, is there some, I mean, you talked a little bit about hiking. Is there, what are some of the other things you like to do away from performing?
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm always thinking of things. I come from a family of entrepreneurs and idea people. So that's in my lifeblood. I wish I could say it was more interesting, but I'm not.
Well, I think what you're doing is very interesting. I mean, yeah. And everything, you know, having more than a passing familiarity with theater myself. Well, we're just about ready to wrap it up, Craig. Tell us a little bit about what you have coming down the road besides the concert with the LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra, like April, May, summer.
April, we've got our show with you guys. In May, we're going to be in South Carolina at the Carolina Opry. We're there about 2-3 times a year. And you can always find us on our website, almostEltonJohn.com. And we have our calendar there. And you can follow us on Facebook at Facebook.com/AlmostEltonJohn, on Instagram and X as well.
Excellent. Well, if you're going to miss Craig, you can see Craig at the LaPorte County Symphony. He'll be Remember When Yonkers Young, the Elton John Experience, Saturday, April 18th, 7 p.m. And I'll be at the LaPorte County Civic Auditorium. And you go to lso.net to get tickets. And I'm sure they're still available, though I know, talking to Emily, who's the executive director, they're going fast and everything. I'm sure people are excited about having you there. Craig, we really appreciate you coming on, making the time for us to chat about your wonderful life. And it's just reading your biography was just very thrilling. So again, that's Craig A. Meyer, and he'll be appearing April 18th at the LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra. Thank you so much for coming on Art of the Air and sharing your art and music journey.
Great being here with you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was terrific. Thank you.
Losing everything is like the sun.
Hi everyone, this is recording artist David Arkenstone, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Nick May to Art on the Air. Nick is a saxophonist who made his solo debut at 18 with the Lincoln Symphony Orchestra. He now has an established international profile with performances across the United States, Singapore, Germany, Sweden, and Denmark. He is frequently featured as a soloist with orchestras and contemporary music ensembles. As a committed chamber musician, he is a founding member of the trio Latitude 39. He is also the founder of the I Exist Project, and we will feature work from his recent release, You, Me, Us, a collaboration of saxophone and piano, his work blending activism with musical expression. As an educator, he has given masterclass performances and residencies at major conservatories and universities. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Nick. Very, very wonderful meeting you.
Oh my God, thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, Nick, on our show, we always like to find out the background of our people. I call it their origin story. So tell us how you got from where you were to where you are now.
So I grew up outside of Lincoln, Nebraska, and actually this is kind of anticlimactic or romanticized story, if you want to say it that way, because there was not really any music in my family. Like, no one was musical. No one was, it was just a small, kind of small town area. And so I started in fifth grade when everyone else started instruments and I wanted to play trumpet, couldn't buzz my lips, tried French horn. Obviously that was strike two. And so then they're like, well, anyone can play saxophone. And they gave me an old Yamaha. And they were right. Anyone could play it. And so, I mean, at that point in my life, like, I never really thought of doing music seriously or pursuing it as a career or anything in that realm. And it was more of just kind of a social thing. You know, it was fun to play with, like, all the friends were in band. And then, and might I add also, like, when I say I was horrible, like, absolutely horrible. I could not, like, I didn't know how to read music for probably the first 3 or 4 years, barely knew, like, the note names, fingerings, all that stuff. And then about middle of middle school, about seventh or eighth grade, I think it was eighth grade, one of the older students, during, like, the solo ensemble contests, whatnot, I was going to play, you know, everyone picks a solo, plays one, you know, and you get an A for, you either get the 1, 2, or 3 or the, you know, the, what's it called? The participation number, whatever it is, right? And so, the upperclassman person said to me, why are you even signing up? Like, it's not like you're going to get a number anyways. You're just going to get the participation one because rightfully so, I was kind of bad, right? And so I don't know what happened at that point, but that just kind of like lit a fire. And I was like, you know what? Like, I can tell myself I'm going to be bad and get the participation trophy and it doesn't matter. But like, it was just that at that point, just someone telling me to my face, you're not going to do well. And I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to actually do this weird magical thing called practicing. Shocker, it works. And then I'm going to practice like, you know, 2-3 hours a day in spite of you.
It's called oppositional defiance disorder. And Nick, it's a superpower. It is superpower to have oppositional defiance disorder.
I am saving that. Yeah. So apparently have that. And so ended up practicing a ton for that and ended up actually getting like a one at the solo contest thing. And then, you know, at that point I was like, oh, music is actually kind of fun when you're actually like when you're able to actually play it and you're not like struggling and you can actually read stuff and you can actually perform, right? And so then I started kind of pursuing the, you know, okay, what does lessons look like doing that? And then, you know, kind of more and more like in high school, I was still like dead set on like going to like anesthesiology or something just because, you know, at the career fair thing we have to do, you know, I was like, okay, what makes the most money? That. Okay. Right. And like, I still love music. I was like, you know, at worst case scenario, at that point in my life, I was like, I'll collect saxophones or have one or two and play in a band or something. Like it was clearly a part of my life at that point, but it was never, music wasn't something I was going to like chase at that point. But then I remember, I think it was my junior or senior year in high school, our director, Terry Rush, he was the principal trombone in the Lincoln Symphony. And so they actually rehearsed at our high school in our band room after school. And like, I could probably find the date if I went through, you know, a million of like, went through years and years of like their programs. But I remember he said like in band class, hey, by the way, the symphony's doing their dress rehearsal after school today. If you want to show up, you know, sit in the corner, do your homework. Have fun, you know, just obviously be respectful, but they're playing tonight, show's tomorrow, but you can listen to them tonight for free. So just come and hang out after school. And so I decided, you know what, I have a bunch of calc homework. I'm just going to take him up on that offer and, you know, showed up when they were all warming up, sitting less than maybe 5 feet away from the podium. And I remember they started with Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, not even, they tuned and then they played that like it was a full performance, not even in rehearsal, like the full performance. And I remember just having goosebumps the entire time because I've never heard anything like that in my life, let alone that close. And then they did Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue right after. And it was just, I don't know what it was, but something in that moment just kind of flipped the switch. And that was the moment that I was like, this, like, I want to keep, like, I want to pursue music. I want to keep chasing whatever energy, whatever happened in this room. This is what I want to be a part of and do. And so, you know, I say it every time, I owe it to him for that rehearsal, for that, for literally changing the directory of my life.
Yeah. Did you have any conversation with the orchestra? Like, did they talk to anybody who was at that rehearsal?
No, I mean, it was just a bunch of high schoolers. So there wasn't really a conversation afterwards. And I mean, at that point, I wouldn't even have known what to say besides, wow, that was amazing. Like, I wouldn't have been able to say anything beautiful or poetic. But then, you know, karma or whatever you believe in, you know, nature has its way. And then that was, you know, about 2 or 3 years later is when I won the Lincoln Symphony's Young Artist Competition, played the concerto with them. And so now it's kind of a serendipitous kind of thing, because now we're also in talks, fingers crossed, where hopefully trying to do a concert with them 20 years after when I won the Young Artist as, you know, an actual professional grown up. So it's kind of a You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just beautiful kind of how all this kind of comes back around.
Well, want to make sure we get this in. You have your newest album, now that you've moved into a professional career, and of course, we mentioned earlier, I saw you at the LaPorte County Symphony and doing especially the Catch Me If You Can theme, but you have an album called You, Me, Us, and one of the songs we want to listen to is Where Will My Flowers Go? Briefly set that up, and we'll take a listen to it.
So the whole album, You, Me, Us, came out of iXist Project. It's an initiative that I've fostered with pianist Alex Siu Lun Lee, where we, for about the last 4 or 5 years, been traveling around the country performing, doing masterclasses and outreaches. But at the core, the project centered on bringing in queer voices, history, and narratives to like the actual forefront of classical music. And so typically what we talk about is, you know, in any given performance, you know, one of the things I always say is, you know, if we listen to a Beethoven sonata or something like that, you know, a lot of times people get to kind of choose their own journey in their listening experience, where it's, you get to paint a picture of a field or whatever imagery you have. But what is kind of very special about this project is that every single piece and every single performance we have has a literal imagery and notes and implications with them. And so it's very much highlighting the entire existence of the queer community, both good and bad sides of that. So, you know, it gets really real really fast, because, you know, there is a lot of beautiful things we're celebrating. There's also a lot of horrible injustices that have gone on and unfortunately still going on. And so this is kind of our way of doing what we can to spread whatever words we can and advocate for a better future for everyone.
Well, let's take a listen to it. This is from You, Me, Us album with our guest today, Nick May. Where Will My Flowers Go?
And that was from our guest today, Nick May, on a saxophonist, You, Me, Us album, Where Will My Flowers Go? You're listening to Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
So, Nick, that one for me was like a movie with characters and dialogue and it time just slipped by as I got involved with that conversation with them. Just so beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think, I don't know, well, there's a poem that also goes with this, that goes with Where Will My Flowers Go? I don't have it in front of me, but it's really about like unrequited love and just kind of where will my flowers go after, you know, tragic heartbreak. And so it's, you know, heartbreakingly beautiful. And I think that's how a lot of the music can be on this album. You know, like they're tragically beautiful at times.
While we have a moment, I want to also quickly listen to a second song, White Sox. Just set that up real quickly and we'll take a listen to that one.
Yeah, so White Sox is very, it's actually a very fun and kind of almost opposite in terms of vibe from Where Will My Flowers Go. White Sox was written by Sebastian Zhang, who at the time was, I believe, a sophomore or finishing their junior year at the University of Texas. And it's the essence of this piece is them celebrating their coming out as trans. And there's a whole long story about how they found, you know, kind of hope and solace again with like their band program where the director, you know, gave them home and community and was enabled them to come out and, you know, embrace who they are.
Well, let's take a quick listen. White Sox from the You, Me, Us album. Nick May, our guest today.
Thank you.
And that was White Sox from the You, Me, Us album, Nick May on saxophone, and that's his album.
And I actually had a kind of opposite reaction to what you said with that. To me, I felt like I was going on an a meandering exploration, you know, and that was like the word that came to me. It was just like, oh, I'm just meandering along. So it was beautiful again. I mean, the whole album is just gorgeous. And it all seamlessly, even though it's different voices, like let's say each song is a different voice, they just all work together in such a lovely way that it's just kind of seamless, actually. I don't even think I noticed it as breaks in songs. I don't know. It was lovely. I'm speechless. Thank you.
No, seriously, thank you. That truly means the world to all of us on the album. So seriously, thank you.
Well, Nick, we only have about a minute left here. It's gone so quick, especially listening to your beautiful music. Tell us about what you have coming up. Obviously, you have the album in 2027. Briefly tell us about that, but also any performance dates and how people can find you online and everything.
So the easiest way to find everything is real simple. Everything is Nick May Sax. So that's the website, Instagram, Facebook, iTunes, all the fun stuff, nickmaysax.com. But coming up, I have just spent last week, the middle week in March, recording with my trio, Latitude 39, with pianist Maya Tuliva and violinist Deanna Seitz on our upcoming album, East Meets West, that fuses kind of our whole musical kind of heritage together in the trio. So they both grew up in Turkmenistan and Azerbaijan and obviously Nebraska. So it's kind of a weird pairing when we talk about it like that, but we all met in Kansas City where I'm based, and the music actually blends together beautifully. We do jazz stuff. We do obviously authentic, like Turkmen melodic stuff, and it's going to be a really fun album releasing spring 27. And right now I'm preparing for a pretty massive concerto premiere that I'm doing on May 30th with Dr. Todd Nichols and the Eastern Wind Symphony by Tyler Harrison, where he wrote about a 25-minute concerto where you can pretty much, if the soprano saxophone can do it or even can't do it, it's doing it. it's going to be a major work, and we're recording that on probably a month later in June for a release on that. So it's really exciting to be able to do this as a living.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art on the Air, and if you happen to be at the LaPorte County Symphony, you got a chance to hear Nick. Our guest is Nick May. He's a saxophonist. His current album is You, Me, Us, available all over, and you can find him at nickmaysax.com. Thank you so much for coming on Art of the Air and sharing your music journey.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we're so grateful that you're doing this.
We'd like to thank our guest this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell it to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Dee Dotson, Vice President of Radio Operations for Lakeshore Public Media, and to Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster, with a vocal by Renee Foster. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Ember Forge Consulting, Thoughtful Marketing and Digital Learning, built to express your purpose and grow your reach. Learn more at emberforgeconsulting.com/grow. And for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air, we rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art. I'm and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.